Let's open our Bibles now to Daniel 12. I'm going to read the first three verses, and then I'm going to pick it up at verse 8 to the end of the chapter. Let's hear God's holy word. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn away, turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Verse 8. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, My Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go your way, Daniel. For the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will rise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Let's pray together. Father, these amazing promises we pray that we may claim for our own through faith in Jesus Christ. And we pray that you give us understanding of some of the things that are being said. Give to us also, Lord, a perspective of this entire book of prophecy and example. And we pray, O Lord, that we will have been greatly edified from the study. In Jesus' name we ask you this. Amen. Well, it seems as though it's been 1,335 days since we began studying Daniel, and it seems like the time of the end is never coming. But today it comes to an end. We conclude the book of Daniel and the study of it today, and I hope we get some understanding from it. Put it into context, the angel who came to Daniel in the third year of Cyrus, after Daniel had been fasting, brings his revelation to a close in such a way as to answer all our questions? No. To whet our appetite and leave us yearning for more? Yes. From Daniel 12, verses 8 and 9 that we just read, we learn that Daniel is not given the final revelation of God's prophetic purpose for his people. But he is given enough to sustain his people so that they may persevere to the end in hope. There is more to be revealed. When Daniel seeks to understand more, he's told to seal up the book until the time of the end. And so this raises some questions for us that we need to resolve before we are able to conclude the book. The one question is, what does it mean to seal up the book? Next question is, what will characterize the last times or the time of the end? Third question is, how long will these conditions continue? And the fourth question is, what then is the reward promised the righteous? We're going to go over time, so fasten your seatbelts because we got a lot of material to cover. The first question is, what does it mean to seal up the book? To seal up the book means to prevent it from being opened for inquiry. It was like the stone over the lion's den. The stone kept people from peering in. It kept anything from getting out. There is information contained in Daniel's revelation that cannot really be understood until, quote, the time of the end. It's referred to in verse 4 and also in chapter 8, 26. So when is the time of the end? Revelation 22, 6 and 10 seem to give us an understanding of what it's talking about. It says, "And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. And he said, 'Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand.'" What is that time? It was the time in which John was living. It is the time after which Jesus Christ died for our sins, paid full atonement, was raised from the dead and lifted up to sit at the right hand of the Father and be given all authority in heaven and in earth. And that is the time of the end. That is the time that is working toward the end of all things. Because everything has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and he has authority to wrap it up. And now we understand what the whole picture is because we see it in the context of the Son of Man himself that Daniel saw in his vision. But it's not being foretold as a coming event. He is now the Son of Man reigning and bringing all the nations into subjugation, holding them down as under a rod of iron while they rebel. That's the time of the end. So why must it be sealed then? The answer is simple, because Christ hadn't come yet. That's why Daniel couldn't understand it. No one could, because Christ himself had not come. In fact, Peter in 1 Peter 1:10 to 12 says the angels sought to understand these things, and they couldn't until they were finally revealed. That's why Paul calls these things a mystery, which has been given to us up until the revelation of Jesus Christ. No one could understand it. It was a mystery. It was sealed. But now we understand in Jesus Christ. He has fulfilled all to build his church, to redeem his people, to conquer the adversary. So that's what it means to seal up the book. Now it's not sealed. What will characterize the last times then? Because the angel said, until the time of the end. Well, in Daniel 12:4, it says, people will run to and fro, and there will be a pursuit of knowledge. This may or may not refer to travel, running to and fro, but it's clear that the running to and fro is coincidental to the pursuit of knowledge. So it may be that they're searching here and they're searching there. Some people think it's referring to air flight and travel, trains and buses and intercontinental travel. That's possible. But the point of it is that it will be a time in which knowledge will advance. We're no longer in the rocket age. We're not even in the space age, so to speak. We're in the age of information. People pursuit of knowledge. But for all man's pursuit of knowledge, he can never come to a knowledge of the truth, which Paul tells us can only be found in Jesus Christ. Knowledge of the truth is absent of them, for 2 Timothy 3:7. So we see all this wisdom, and we see all this research, and we see all the technical advancements, and everybody, every natural man remains stupid because he does not understand the Creator, nor the Redeemer, nor the Lord of history and the heaven and earth. But one thing is certain about the character of these times. They will endure great tribulation. That's a characteristic of these times, and that's what we're dealing with now. In chapter 12, Daniel, verses 7 and 10, it talks about the great tribulation that God's people will endure. And we saw in Antiochus Epiphanes a type, a foreshadow of that same type of persecution. And the angel is speaking on two different levels here, because on the one hand, he's speaking of great tribulation for the people of God and how many will be purified through it all. And at the other time, he's speaking of specific times and how long it will endure. And whatever Schofield may say, that's the time it endured under Antiochus Epiphanes. So Daniel was not so far-sighted that it did no good for his own generation. The angel addressed the generation that Daniel was in, while at the same time giving to us foreshadows and pictures of what we are to anticipate in the antitype of Antiochus Epiphanes, the son of perdition, Antichrist. So how long will these conditions continue? Verses 5 and 6 and 8 give us some idea. Here we have an angel who's clothed in linen, and he assumes he speaks with angelic understanding. And so when Daniel asks about how long, the answer is time, times, and half a time. And here we go. What does it mean? Well, I think you know, because I've spoken of it before, a time speaks of a specific period. A times, plural, is an extension of that period. Half a time is a cutting short of that period. And Jesus in Matthew 24:22, when he was foretelling the destruction of Jerusalem, he was essentially saying, if these times were not cut short, no flesh would survive. But for the sake of the elect, the times were cut short, so half a time. The answer to Daniel then begins with his own immediate experience, the imminent persecution of Antiochus Epiphanes. But as I said, it's typical of what will follow, the end time persecution of Antichrist, the son of perdition. But the figure of period of time that's given to Daniel is 1290 days. There it is in verse 11. Now, we got all kinds of numbers here, and focus with me. Bear with me, please. We got 1290 days. We got 1260 days. We got 42 months. We have time, times, and half a time. We have 1335 days. And they're all used here in this context. What do we do with them all? And you kind of, you know, your eyes glaze over when you see all these numbers. What do they mean? And here it goes. If you look at chapter 8, verses 13 and 14, it speaks of 2,300 days as the full period of time when the little horn will persecute Israel. Antiochus Epiphanes is being foretold. It comes to 6 years and 4 months. From the year 171 B.C. to 165 B.C. is the full period of Antiochus Epiphanes' assaults on Israel. Then you go to chapter 12, verse 12, and it speaks of 1,335 days. So we go from 2,300 days to 1,335, and that is the whole period of the abomination of desolation that Antiochus punishes Israel under, until he dies, until he falls ill and dies after hearing of the defeat under Judas Maccabeus. He wasn't personally killed by Judas Maccabeus. He was away somewhere, but he died of a great illness about the same time that Maccabees were victorious in driving out his armies. So that ended the abomination of desolation when he broke into the temple, sacrificed the swine, and persecuted all the Jews, killing those who were circumcised and so on. 1,335 days. Now we come down. Chapter 12, verse 11, speaks of 1,290 days. And what's that? That's the specific period of the abomination of desolation till the restoration of worship. That's 3.5 years. It's an extension beyond 3.5 years. It's 3 years and 7 months now. It was that extension of the time. Times is the extension of the time. 1,290 days is an extension from 1,260 days. So the whole period of abomination till Antiochus fell ill and died was 1,335 days. But the specific period of the breakdown of the temple and the sacrifice and the slaughter of the Jews was 1,290 days. 3.5 years was moved up to 3 years and 7 months, 1,290 days. Now, why is this information given? Well, it's neat because, you see, if they knew where exactly to begin the count, and that would have been difficult, I understand. But it gave them hope to hold on to the end. It is a limited period of time. Don't give up. God will come through for you. It's so important for us to understand that principle. Yes, there are times when we go through great tribulation under governments, Hitler in Europe and so on. But then there's an understanding that it seems like it's getting even worse and worse, and there's no hope, and it's being extended. And then suddenly, like that, like an atom bomb, it's suddenly brought to an end, cut short. And that's the way God works with his people. We need to keep that always, that perspective in mind. We find that 3.5 years is a recurring time period when it refers to God's people. 3.5 years. Where else have you seen that? That's 1,260 days, by the way, 42 months. 42 months was the entire period of Israel's wanderings in the wilderness, as was summarized in Numbers 33. It is the time period also in the book that Jesus referred to in Luke 4:25. 3.5 years was the time of drought over the northern kingdom of Israel during the prophetic life of Elijah. 3.5 years of drought. Then Revelation 12 speaks of this period when the woman, that is the church, will flee from the great dragon. And it says, then the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days, 42 months, where she is nourished for a time, times and a half a time. See, same figure, from the presence of the serpent. So suddenly the time, times and a half a time is not only the persecution and extension of that period and the sudden cutting off, but it's a specific period of time, 42 months, 1,260 days. And that was the limit. What we learn from this is then Daniel 12 isn't just about Israel. Daniel 12 is about the church. It applies to us because Revelation takes the same figures and the same image and the same time periods. It seems that this then is the time period of world power, world dominion over God's people. Get that. Picture that. We are so threatened and so troubled by what's going on in America these days with the Black Lives Matter and the woke and the elections and the lies and the increasing boldness of the left to cast God out of the picture and to persecute Christians. Oh, they're stepping a little tenuously, but their agenda is quite clear. And they will nudge a little farther and a little farther until, before you know it, they have taken power over the church. They will have taken one way or another. They may say one thing, but do another, and there will be none to challenge them. That seems to be the trend in world history. I'm not saying it will happen or in this generation. I don't know, in America. But it's the pattern. So let's understand it then. As Revelation 13:5-7 says, and he was given authority to continue 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. You hearing me? And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. That's frightening. What is Daniel given this information for? He's encouraged to use the knowledge revealed to assure him, though, that the end is in God's hands, and he will by no means lose his reward. Which brings us to the fourth question. What then is the reward promised the righteous? Well, there's verse 3 of chapter 12. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of a firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. What is this reward? First, it is a rest. It's not an RIP, rest in peace, rest that you see on a gravestone. By rest in the Bible, it means happiness, a happy yet active condition, a fulfilled state of mind and body. Secondly, it's everlasting life, verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust shall wake, and some to everlasting life. In Isaiah 26, 19, it says, your dead shall live. Together with my dead body they shall rise, and the earth shall cast out the dead. So when it says the dead shall live, it doesn't mean like raising up a Frankenstein monster and an automaton. It means life is more than existence. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10. They shall live, thrive. And those who are condemned, they shall also wake up. But it doesn't say they shall live. So we understand that living isn't merely waking up from the dead. Living means to receive the fullness of the life that Christ came to give us. The dead, the unbelieving dead shall rise to, quote, live, but only for the purpose of suffering. So we shall rest, we shall live, and we shall receive our inheritance. Third, Matthew 16, 27 says, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father, and then he will reward each according to his works, which is almost exactly what Revelation 22, 12 says. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. In Revelation 20, verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works. This includes then the sharing in the glory of those who will shine in the brightness of the firmament. Shine as the stars forever and ever, Daniel 12, 3. That's their inheritance. The saints' brightness, where does it come from? The brightness of the saints is from the splendor of God himself as the glory of God shines through them, which is why he made man in his image in the first place, that he might shine his brightness through his most exalted creation, made little lower than the angels at first, but actually made little lower than God, and then, in order to be raised up, they received glory to even judge the angels. And this is for those whom he foreknew. And they will transform our lowly body, said Paul in Philippians 3:21, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. And you will hear that at every funeral that I perform. That is our hope. So pointing forward now to the coming of Christ, the book of Daniel draws to a close. Daniel's prophecy rose out of the Jewish Holocaust, and it was given that we might have hope against those who are oppressing us from the power of the world. Through prophetic revelations, the book revealed the bigger picture, the big picture of God's sovereign rule over all nations and peoples, and the setting up of the Son of Man as the one through whom he would rule. Next to him, all human rulers are but beasts. The beasts are here, the Son of Man is in their heavens. In the words of Daniel, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Chapter 2, 20 and 21. But the book of Daniel also provided us lessons in true fidelity to God through the personal stands that Daniel and his companions Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took, even though it cast them into the fiery furnace and into the den of lions. As these three companions testified in Daniel 3:16-18, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods. Fidelity. Daniel's revelation would break down the borders of God's kingdom in Israel, dealing with God's purpose of all nations. And it would expand his purposes to cover the whole world. It would unite before our view the operations of heaven and earth in a divine conquest of the adversary of God's people, where we get to actually see not only what's going to transpire on the earth, but we see what's transpiring in heaven at the same time, and the interaction between the two. And the final conquest will be seen in the eternal victory, which Daniel was not given a full glimpse of, but which we have unsealed before our eyes, that final eternal victory and rule of the saints through his Son. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. And as for Daniel himself, he became a legend in his own time, esteemed by his own people as a model of righteousness and wisdom, according to Ezekiel 28:3. But above all, according to Daniel 9:23, Daniel was beloved of God. So he continued from youth to old age, when like John he would receive the final revelation of the resurrection. Daniel would live to see the Jews return to Jerusalem, but he himself would remain in Babylon, where he would die awaiting the resurrection. Nevertheless, he cherished the promise of Daniel 12:12-13. Blessed is he who waits, but you go your way to the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of days. I conclude then with a prayer of John Calvin. Grant, Almighty God, since thou proposest to us no other end than that of constant warfare during the whole life, and subjectest us to thy many cares until we arrive at the goal of this temporary race course. Grant, I pray thee, that we may never grow fatigued. May we ever be armed and equipped for battle. And whatever the trials by which thou dost prove us, may we never be found deficient. May we always aspire toward heaven with upright souls and strive with all our endeavors to attain that blessed rest which is laid up for us in heaven. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray.